Hello, and welcome back to Get Her in the Game, a pitch podcast. I am Dee Dee. I am one half of the Black Girl Squee podcast, and I'm joined by my co-host, Olivia, who goes by... Hello. who goes by Sportifica on Twitter. And we're here to recap episode 9 of Pitch called Scratched. Before we get started, just wanted to do you want to talk about what you've been doing during our an extended hiatus, or
aside from mourning the loss of Pitch, not much. I mean, it's hard to believe it's been 2 years now, right? I miss it all the time. It was a perfect show. It did nothing wrong. It wasn't its fault that it got canceled, but. We're happy that Kylie Bunbury will be back on TV soon. Just missing Pitch. So it's fun to come back. And luckily we have a few more episodes to revisit. And
I wish there were more women in sports TV shows on. Like, we could have a show, like a mockumentary on the WNBA. You know, kind of satirizing all the things that all the ways that they get disrespected, or something like we could have,
or even an actual,
we could have a pitch in the NBA where
NBA like where, the NBA every season has the association
somebody
where they follow one
it
team
plays forward for the Knicks or something like that,
and you know, 6 or 7 episodes.
I wish that some other ideas that are related to this,
right,
or inspired by Pitch. I wish some of those had come down the pike. And
I mean, you think about
those on TV now.
You know, professional basketball players, female basketball players, they play in the WNBA, but usually they have to fill the rest of their year with playing overseas. And occasionally there's the, you know, World Cup. You know, so it's just constant and very demanding in a way that the NBA just isn't. There's a lot of unique challenges to their lifestyle, so it'd be fascinating. But yet, anyways.
Yeah, we don't even have pregame and postgame shows for the goddamn finals, so I can feel myself, I can feel it starting again. Let me stop. Let me tamp it down. This episode is called Scratched. It is the 9th episode of Pitch. It was written by Tanner Bean and Katrina Mathewson and directed by Zetna Fuentes. So I guess I'll start. And this episode starts with the voice of Cowherd, which is not a good sign in my books. But he's one of the talking heads that you'll hear throughout this episode. Because we've already established on previous episodes of Pitch, a lot of information is conveyed by the talking heads on the screens that are everywhere, in every room, in every office, even in the hallways of hotel rooms on this show. You can't escape the screens. So this episode starts with Colin, and he's wondering if Mike Lawson's days as a Padre are numbered. And that he's okayed a trade to the Cubs. Right. Just as this is being announced, Mike walks into the Padres locker room. And I'm just wondering who's leaking this information. There is an obvious leak straight to Fox Sports. So was it Mike's agent? Was it Oscar? Was it new GM guy? Or new owner guy? Somebody's leaking straight to Colin. In the locker room, Jenny and Blip exchange a look, and Mike reaches his cubby and takes a call. It's Ted Copeland, who is the Cubs GM, and he's been given the okay to reach out. So I assume that was by Oscar or new owner guy. Mike walks out of the locker room. He's kind of like trying to be stealthy, but not really. He can't really be stealthy because everybody's looking at him. He tries to find a more private place to talk. I think he goes into the towel room or something. So all Ted wants to know is Mike's ring size. And which is quite a way to start a conversation to a guy that's chasing a ring. Mike is starting to have cold feet and says he'll get back to Ted. Ted's not picking up on these cues, though, that indicate that Mike is feeling indecisive. He says he wants Mike right. at Wrigley Field.
Maybe he's
in
the
two
one
days.
That leaked it.
So he's doing everything he can to get
to
him
kind
there.
Of, you know, put the pressure, you know, create some tension where Mike is currently
Ooh.
Is.
True.
And yeah, and there is that pressure to
get
the deal
his way
done because
as fast
there's
as
this
possible,
deadline,
right?
And if the player's not on the roster by September 1st, and they can't participate in the playoffs. And that is what's right around the corner. It's September 1st. So makes sense why he'd want to speed that along. But mm-hmm. it is crazy to think
right.
that in real life, it could be happening like that, that they actually play the news in the locker room. Doesn't seem like a smart choice. But if that happens, you know, you think about that going on while everybody's trying to focus on one game at a time, and while you're preparing for a game, another team's GM could be calling you and, you know, trying to get your focus off of, you know, what's right in front of you. It's a weird lifestyle, to say the least. But
yeah, I mean, maybe they keep the sports news on because that's the way they find out. They find out some things that the front office won't tell them. Like, I've heard of right. NBA players finding out they've been traded from watching SportsCenter instead of hearing it from their GM. So
yeah,
maybe they feel like if the front office isn't talking to them, they'll find out what they need to know on TV.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yes. Yes. I think you know exactly what I'm talking about too. So poor perk. So Jenny finds Mike after his call is over, and she's annoyed. She pretends to be annoyed by the talking heads going on and on about Mike. It's Mike-a-palooza. She's basically getting him back for being annoyed at the Ginny mania that happened when she first started playing for the Padres way back in episode one. She's trying to find out if he waived his no trade clause. And Mike answers a question with a question. All he says is, you my agent. And all through the episode, he evades honest questions about whether or not he wants to be traded. So he's really kind of playing this game and being dishonest to people who were really close to him and really believe in him, which kind of sucks. But tragic Mike, right? So Ginny follows him as he walks out of the towel room. And she's pleading her case that he stay in San Diego. The Padres are only 7 games out of a wild card spot. And the Talking Heads pick up right where Ginny left off. The team is mathematically still in the wild card hunt. But Colin's co-host, Christine Leahy, can't fault Lawson for wanting to go to a real contender. If the rumors are true. Colin calls Mike an infidel for not finishing his career with the Padres. And Mike finds that word pretty harsh. Yeah. And so do I. The Talking Heads keep arguing over rumors as the show cuts to the title card. And yeah, infidel is pretty harsh. At the end of the day, it is still baseball.
Right.
It's not, we're not at war. it's still a game. And also, this is a rumor. Y'all are using words like infidel over a rumor that has not been substantiated, hasn't been confirmed. But
yeah, and this is, you know, it's always on the player to be loyal to a team. And, you know, the owners and the GMs who have, you know, just as much power, more power, they don't receive that same criticism of being.
Ooh, okay. You just spoke a word right there. That, yeah, whenever, no, go ahead.
It's just another reason why it sucks that the show was canceled, because we were only scratching the surface with the actual character story, but also with, like, all of these interesting narratives that are in sports, you know? Like, I feel like we could have returned to that again and again, especially with Mike, you know, but we saw earlier in the season when somebody who thought he was safe from trade rumors was just traded like that, you know, so there were just so many opportunities as this show would have continued to grow that we could explore, like, all of those harmful, you know, narratives that are so focused on the player and they don't really dive into the GMs and the owners. I mean, luckily, you know, Oscar, as far as GMs go, he's a decent guy. But it would have been cool to explore that more.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, besides the, you know, the commentary on women in sports, there was great commentary about the discourse around major league sports, also about sports media, the way sports and the way sports players are covered. And, you know, that's where I live. That's, I love to talk about that. I can talk about that all day. I love
access to grind.
I really do. So I love the way the show kind of pokes at both of those as well. The way players are treated, the way the media treats players, the way management treats players. It's so good. I love the show. It's already changed so much
in 2 years. You know, like so many things have happened. You know, I was thinking, man, this show could have used Jemele Hill, even though Jemele is associated with ESPN at the time, and Pitch is obviously tied with Fox. But yeah, I mean, so many things have changed just in 2 years. I feel like the way that we talk about players staying loyal to teams has changed a lot, especially after Kevin Durant signed with the Golden State Warriors, which is a whole other conversation. But you know, you think about where this show would be right now, and not just the way that sports have changed, but, you know, the country as a whole. But perhaps back to the show. So when we come back, or do you guys have something to add?
Yeah. I just wanted to, just one thing about how players are getting more vocal on social media and during press conferences and things like that, how they're getting more vocal and how the, you know, ownership and management want to push back after. I'm thinking about this recent thing about the NBA complaining about players being addicted to social media, and I'm like, didn't a GM just lose his job over burner accounts?
Yeah,
you're complaining about players. Maybe we need to talk about these GMs and their significant others, possibly.
Yeah, and they probably manipulate rumors that go out. I mean, in ways that we don't even know.
Yep.
You know, they have much more power in that. You know, and if players are addicted to social media, hey, maybe it's because that's where they find the updates on their community and their own, you know, trade rumors and careers.
Yep. So, yeah. Yeah, we need some more. We need Pitch back. Okay, sorry.
So, when we come back to the show, we're in a simulated baseball pitch. There's a studio. Ginny's wearing a motion capture suit. And Elliot's geeking out with the mocap team, but he gets the cold shoulder from them. Shame on you. And Ginny's approached by Noah, who we first think is just one of the other tech guys, and he starts flirting with her, and he's laying it on thick. He lays it on thick the whole episode. And even he's asking, or he's saying his coworkers are asking about Mike Lawson and if he's getting traded, and Ginny immediately says no. And it is sweet, you know, that Ginny's like so sure that Mike's staying, or she really wants him to stay, and Mike, you know, is avoiding everyone, but he's especially avoiding Ginny, I feel like, because he can't lie to her, and he doesn't want to disappoint her. So I feel like that's one of the reasons that he, you know, keeps dodging her and brushing her off. So Will and Amelia are also there, and they're watching everything happen from the back of the room. They can tell Noah's hitting on Ginny, and that Ginny seems to be responding well to it. And he bounces a business idea off Amelia, and she immediately shuts it down. And we'll go back to that whole dynamic later, but yeah, you just think about how if Amelia were more giving, supportive, you know, taking Ginny's cue because she wants to help her brother and she has this obvious like guilt associated with her brother, you know, things could be different. But Amelia's never been interested in Will being a part of the story of Ginny's career, you know, from way back when Amelia went.
You know what? I think if Amelia had kind of laid back and kind of just, you know, pulled back a little bit and just, you know, let things progress on their own without her always trying to like control it. I think Will probably would have tripped up earlier and, you know, shown some red flags that Evelyn and Ginny couldn't ignore. And it would have happened sooner. But since Amelia is being so resistant, it kind of makes Ginny and Evelyn kind of want to double down on supporting Will, and that means it's going to take longer for you know, the truth to come out. So once again, Amelia is kind of hustling backwards, but
Well, it's a shame because, you know, Amelia is not responsible for Will's bad decisions and Will hiding it from people. But, you know, you almost feel like Amelia sees this as an opportunity to say, I told you so, when that's not really it either. You know, it's just frustrating. Mm-hmm. But we'll get to that. We learn more about Will later in the episode. But in the meantime, Noah asks Ginny out to dinner. And Ginny, having no idea who he is, asked if his boss would be okay with him, you know, asking a client on a date. And that's when Elliot comes by and he tells her, like, you know, he is the boss. He's like Mark Zuckerberg, which isn't really anything to brag about, but so now Ginny wants to know why the boss is doing, you know, the grunt work. You know, he's not even behind the screen doing the, you know, special effects or anything. And mm-hmm. I think it's because Noah's had a crush on her for a while and
whatever,
this opportunity to meet her. Noah says it's because he likes to get his hands dirty. Okay. Okay. Yes, about dinner again, and Ginny, you know, says that her life's all about baseball. She doesn't really want to go out in public because she's always being hounded for autographs and selfies. Noah just asks her what time should he pick her up? And that's when Jenny has to say no, take a hand, guy. But then he moves on.
I'm sure it's, you know, it was pretty cute, and you know, it's going by pretty much your regular rom-com beats. This episode is going by. I'm glad that Noah seemed to take the rejection okay at the time and didn't try to, you know, I mean, she's still in the mocap suit and they still have work to do to capture her image for this video game. So I guess he couldn't, even if he wanted to cuss her out or do something wild, you know, he really couldn't for the sake of a project. But you know, It's a different way to deal with no. Sometimes it happens, and you have to, just charge it to the game, as they say. So we go to dinner at Blip's house, and Ginny's asking if he's heard anything about Mike going to the Cubs. And Blip says he hasn't heard anything from Mike. Of course, Mike is avoiding talking to Ginny and Blip, the people who care and are going to be affected by this most on the team. So, of course, he hasn't heard anything from Mike. Ginny says that if Mike's leaving, the guys should hear it from him. And Blip's like, oh, the guys. You're looking out for the guys now? basically, our resident Sherlock Holmes sees through Ginny's faux concern. Evelyn can't believe that Ginny said no to a date from Noah Casey.
Yes.
Blip says that Ginny needs to get some. I'm like, y'all are friends, but y'all don't need to be commenting on your girl's sex life. Come on.
I mean,
but that sounds like some stuff some married people would do. Like, Evelyn agrees that Ginny should go relieve some stress with a billionaire. And, yeah. That doesn't sound bad. There's a cottage industry in romance about marrying a billionaire, so. Will adds that Ginny just signed a huge endorsement deal. She doesn't need anyone else's
yep.
money. And Blip is looking at a mock-up menu for Scrooge's Bar and Grill. Surprised that it already exists. The menu, that is. The menu has a big picture of Ginny in her Padres uniform on the front of it. Ginny asks if Will if he wants to commit to something that is so much about her. And he just says that that's who he is now. He's Ginny Baker's brother. And he's okay with that. Blip continues questioning Will, asking if he has any food industry experience. Will says he was running a coffee shop in North Carolina. Evelyn reminds Blip that she was pursuing a business degree when she met him and helped him pursue his dream. And she says that she really wants to do this. And Blip is worried about this derailing their plans to have another kid. But I think those plans were more his than hers. But we probably won't get into that until the next episode. And Blip says he doesn't want to invest his money in this bar. Yes, Evelyn gets quickly pissed at that, and Blip tries to backtrack, and he manages to clean it up a little bit, saying that he was wrong, this is our money, and agrees to support Evelyn. So they all celebrate, touching wine glasses, but Blip doesn't bother doing that, he just takes a big sip of his drink. So it's obvious that he still has doubts. And he won't be the only one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you think that this really is Will's dream? To either, own a restaurant chain or be a business owner? Or do you think if this show had gone on, we would have gotten into, maybe he was, as we saw, he was in trouble and just very desperate to.
Yeah, I think come out now that side. I think about it, watching this show again, I think it's more of a
business venture.
I don't know. It seems like a really elaborate way to get along. Like, I wonder if it wouldn't have been easier to say, like, look, Jenny, I'm over my head. I'm in debt. I need this many thousands of dollars to get above water. Can you help me out? I don't know. I wonder if that would have been easier. Instead of, because he's dragging other people into it.
Yeah.
And other people's money, which means you're dragging other people's emotions and livelihoods into this. Yeah. This is dangerous. If anyone this blows up, it's gonna hurt a lot more people than just Will and Jenny. And it's just wild to me that Will's not thinking about that or considering that at all. It doesn't seem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sucks. So, back to more talking heads debating Mike Watson trade rumors
while Jenny watches
in the hotel room. And we get confirmation later on in the episode that it's been 3 months since Jenny joined the Padres and she's still living in a hotel room. Yeah. Man, that would have been another fun episode where she, like, moves into an apartment or a house or something. And anyways, she gets an email from Noah with a link to a little game animation he made as an elaborate way to ask her out again. In the game, Jenny gives a heart to Noah,
a girl that said
that has his powers, and there's also a note to text him with his phone number listed. So that's a lot. I mean, it's nice to, right? It's nice to see Jenny, pursued and somebody flirting with her and doting on her. But it is kind of weird. I guess he was very convinced that, the only reason she said no is because she's cautious.
Yeah, I mean, the game, the animation was cute, and Jenny seemed genuinely charmed by it. She broke out into a really big smile when she saw it. So, she did. Yeah, he did with the princess. That's true.
Right.
And so, so there's all of that on one side, and then on the other side.
And he mobbed it after Mario.
Respecting a person's no. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, that I think we see it, later in their relationship, quote unquote.
I'm just saying. I guess
kind of over the top.
We're in a different era now. 2 years later, so what? Some of the really cute rom-com tropes don't seem as cute now. So we look at, the empty baseball field as AM Sports Radio plays. One of the radio hosts thinks that Charlie Graham, who is the new owner guy, only cares. Yeah, 9 episodes in. I think we were ignoring it. I think they may have said his name before, but we just weren't using it because we're petty. we don't like him. They're saying that Charlie Graham only cares about numbers, not players or fans. And Charlie kind of confirms that later in this episode, but we'll get to that. Mike walks into the clubhouse to applause and high fives from everybody working there. Amelia is waiting for him down the hall, wanting to know if he's leaving or not. She tells him to let Jenny know when you know. Like she's not Mike's agent. Amelia is so funny sometimes. She thinks she can just tell everybody what to do and they'll do it. Mike asks why. Well, Amelia tells him to let Jenny know when you know. And Mike asks why, saying he doesn't owe anyone a goodbye or a go to hell. Amelia thinks that Mike waived his clause, but is keeping things secret in case the trade doesn't go through. And I hate to say it, but Amelia's right, but Mike doesn't confirm that. He just says if the deal goes through, he's definitely saying goodbye to some groupies. Tragic, so tragic. Charlie's in Oscar's office talking about the pros and cons of this Lawson trade. In the long term, the Padres are stockpiling assets. And Levon is a better catcher anyway, in his opinion. In the short term, they're selling more walk-up tickets from people who think this might be Mike's last game as a Padre. All numbers. So maybe that sports guy was right on AM radio. It sure is sounding like it. Oscar warns that baseball fans are sentimental and have long memories. Charlie says he doesn't make decisions to win friends. He makes them to win, period. Yeah, sounding a lot like he doesn't give a rat's fart about players or fans or people. Period. Yeah. Yeah, these are people who really don't have any business managing other people because they're not very good dealing with people. They don't seem to be invested in people at all. They really should have different jobs. Like Charlie should really just be a statistician, an analyst or something like that. He should not be making decisions about baseball players' lives. And I've already talked at length about Amelia's issues and my issues with Amelia, so I won't go on. Or this will be a 2-hour podcast for real. Oh, God. We are really going to bring late night hate night to the show. Mike steps into Oscar's office as they're talking, and Oscar introduces him to Charlie. Mike asks to keep the chatter quiet on the Padres' end until the deal is done. Charlie tells Mike to enjoy today, that he deserves all the love he's going to get from fans.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar simply says thank you. And Mike, being grumpy old tragic Mike, just says he wants the day to be over.
Same.
Oh, Mike.
So, Amelia and Jenny are talking about Scroogey's, Will's restaurant, as they walk into the clubhouse. Amelia is surprised at the progress that's been made so far, getting an investor involved. And Amelia asks about financing. Jenny wrote Will a check. Amelia asks how much, and Jenny tells her it's none of her business. And so Amelia just cuts to the chase and says it's not worth Jenny's time and energy to attach herself to a sports bar that will fail in a year. And Jenny says that she's always going to have her brother's back, so Amelia just needs to get on board with it. And even if it did fail in a year, you know, I just feel like it'd be a better use of time and energy if Amelia at least tried to, you know, use her expertise to help, or if she really just doesn't want to be involved in it at all, just focus on, you know, other aspects of Ginny's public persona. You know, like that could have been a moment where it's like, all right, I can't really stop Ginny from doing this. So let's move on. But that's not how it shakes out.
She can, exactly. If she had just if she would just fall back and just wash her hands of this and just do her job, which is managing Ginny's career. Her baseball career and her endorsements and stuff like that.
That's all that's being asked of her.
I think things would have worked. Yes, I think things would have worked out better, but she can't resist just putting her two cents in, kind of giving unsolicited advice. And I
do think she genuinely cares about Ginny and she's worried about Ginny, but you know, just the choices she makes, you know, trying to, you know, go behind Ginny's back to prevent Ginny from even finding out about certain things, and you know, just the way that she goes about it isn't healthy. But
yeah, you gotta let Ginny take some of these lumps and, you know, deal with them herself.
So as Ginny's getting finished in her dressing room, she reaches for her cleats, but she sees that they are stuck to her locker. They're nailed to her locker. So she walks into the men's locker room with her cleats, asking who did it. And Blip says that rookie pranks don't start until tomorrow, the next day, when all the rookies will be called up. And then Ginny thinks that maybe somebody wants to prank her a day early because they won't be there the next day. Who could that be?
Mm-hmm.
So she follows Mike out of the locker room. And then Oscar is talking to Levon in the hallway to see how he's acclimating. Levon recites his August stats as a way of saying, yeah, doing pretty well. So... yeah, in one way, he's doing very well. And then Al's daughter meets Oscar in the hallway, and as we learned, they're doing some secret dating. She just had dinner with her dad, and Al is not happy with Oscar over the loss in trade. And he's getting a lot of online hate, too. It makes you wonder... you know, we see the dynamics between the owner and the GM on TV, and Dee Dee and I have a history being very vocal about our disapproval of certain GM's decisions. So it makes you wonder, you know, I'm sure it's different in every office, you know, how involved the owners are and, you know, those kinds of decisions. Not going to change my feelings personally, but
nope.
Anyways, she tells him Austin that she's being offered a permanent position at the hospital where she works, and Oscar asks her if she's going to take it. He's not sure because there are other opportunities outside of San Diego that she's been considering. And Oscar, in a very awkward way, asks her to stay. It's not really romantic or sentimental.
Or even convincing. Yeah. Like, he's really non-committal, asking her to stay, which is weird. Right. Like, he wasn't even sure as he was asking it whether he wanted
it. It is interesting asking her to stay. And he's also, you know, got this whole Mike Lawson trade happening. Kind of a parallel sort of, I don't know. So Ginny finds Mike in the training room where he's getting his usual massage and clears everyone out with a look. She starts reciting the number of players who won rings while playing for the same team, 15 years or more. Clearly, she's been watching some Ken Burns baseball series. They argue, and Mike leaves the room by telling Jenny that the more she talks, the better he feels about his decision. Obviously, all emotion there. But I don't always enjoy watching people fight. But Mark and Kylie's dynamic that they built up is so amazing that I really enjoy their scenes where they argue, because there's just so much chemistry there.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite scenes of the episode.
Wow. I just thought he was so rude. That was so rude. Like, he's doing everything to push Jenny and Blip away.
Yeah.
He's so grumpy. Anyway. But Oscar finally checks in with Al, who says he likes LaVon better when Mike's on the team, because LaVon doesn't listen to coaching. So he's got these great August stats, but all the Skips hate him because he never listens to a word they say. Al asks Buck to leave so he can talk to Oscar alone. And he gives Oscar an opening to tell him that he's dating Natalie, his daughter. But Oscar doesn't take it because Oscar's just being weird about this whole thing.
Oscar's another tragic.
He is. When it comes to relationships, he is very tragic. He does not know how to deal with women. Maybe that's because he's recently separated and divorcing. Mm-hmm. Oscar says he's not planning on bailing on her. And Al says,
again.
Yeah, exactly. Very noncommittal. And Al just hits it on the head. Not planning, huh? That's reassuring. Al was killing me with this dry wit. But yeah.
I mean, I don't love, like, the dad, you know, butting in on his, like, adult daughter's dating
right.
life. Yeah. It's just another time where, you know, maybe Oscar means well deep down, but just the delivery.
Yeah. And it's helpful because he's giving Natalie and Al all the red flags, all the information they need to make their next, for Natalie at least, to make her next steps, to make, she's helping make her decision easier.
Yeah.
So, one of the players asks Jenny if Mike told her anything about the trade. So she evades, just like Mike, by saying Mike wouldn't share any info with a rookie. And then she goes into what Mike would probably call a feminista rant by saying, you know, oh, you think he just talks to me because I'm a girl? And the player's like, no, I think he talks to you because he's closer to you than just about anybody else on the team.
And that's in 3 months.
3 whole months. And they're bantering like an old married couple. Or their banter is like Hepburn and Tracy level. Like.
Yeah.
After 3 months. So Elliot and Amelia see Evelyn in the player's box. And Amelia wonders if she should warn Evelyn about investing with Will. Elliot wants to get through one game without drama, and I feel him on that.
Me too.
Just one game, but it's not that kind of show, partner. Amelia brings it up when she goes over to Evelyn's table, and Evelyn says that she has things under control.
She says, like, her opener is so weird. She tries to compliment Evelyn's
hair. Yeah, I like your hair straight like that.
It's
always like this. That's Amelia trying to be pleasant. So, heaven help us all.
But I like her more in those moments where she's awkward and, like, someone, you know, knocks her down a peg, where she's humbled.
She tries to be human, but it's rough. It's really rough.
So on the field, Mike is warming up, and Jenny tells Blip that Mike is leaving. And Blip tells her that there are, instead of just saying that there's no I in team, there's actually 25 I's in team. 25 people with their own lives and their own problems. You know, kind of as a way to say that if Mike leaves, you know, try to think of it not only.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
You okay? Okay. So Blip's trying to tell Jenny, you know, Mike has his own reasons for leaving, and it's not solely about his relationship with the team. And Jenny realizes there that if Mike is leaving, he's leaving the team in good hands with Captain Detective Blip. And then they start berating Mike's attempts to hit a home run. So he's talking trash right in his ear. Meanwhile, Charlie's taking a call, presumably from the Cubs. He says that he doesn't want to eat $7 million. Oscar agrees to keep $3 million of Mike's contract on their books, but no more. And they can get the deal done today in time to make Mike a Cub and eligible for their playoff roster. But Ted from the Cubs wants Mike to sit out this game that a lot of fans think is going to be Mike's last, because they don't want to risk him getting hurt before the trade. So Mike walks into the clubhouse and sees that he's been scratched from the game, and he talks to Al about it. There's not much that Al can do. It was a decision from higher up. Mike says that he doesn't care about the deal. He just wants to help the Padres win. Yes, he just wants to focus on what's right in front of them at the moment. But Al says, he's sorry, you've already played your last game with the Padres. Which creates some problems because the game is sold out. And, you know, as Charlie said, you know, they sold a lot of tickets because people thought this was going to be Mike's last game potentially. And in the ninth inning, the Padres are down 1-3. Mike is pacing in the dugout and he really wants to play.
So in the box, Amelia tries it Elliot's way. She apologizes to Evelyn and Will for overstepping and offers to help with any restaurant advice she can get. They accept her apology, but she still feels that it accomplished nothing because she didn't get her way. LeVon ignores coaching and steals home base to get a home run. So the score is now Padres 2, Dodgers 3. Al asks whose turn it is to talk to LeVon. And everybody just shrugs because nobody wants to talk to him. Yes!
Rock, paper, scissors.
When you know it's bad when they're, yeah. The Dodgers call up a lefty pitcher, and Mike says they need a right-handed hitter. Al says his hands are tied. Mike sits back on the bench beside Jenny, and he's pouting. And she tells him to put on a helmet. Then she calls the attention of one of the Fox Sports cameramen and tells Al that any second now, 40,000 fans are about to start chanting because the cameraman swung over and caught Mike putting on his helmet. So he's like, oh, wait, we've got a scoop in the dugout. Mike's going to come out. And then there's this really cute moment where she's just pointing at the crowd and nodding her head like, told you so. As everybody in the crowd starts chanting Mike's name. Blip defends Mike, says he's their best chance of winning the game. And Buck says if they fire Al, he'll leave with them. And he says he'll leave Major League Baseball, the entire sport. So Al relents and lets Mike play and tells him, just don't get hurt.
And there's a great little moment. Well, first, I love that even though Mike's, you know, grumpy and pissed off, he still, like, sits right next to Ginny. And the reason that Ginny gets the camera operator over there is she tells Mike that particular camera guy has a crush on her. And as she says that, it cuts to the camera's point of view, and Mike's like glaring at the camera.
How did he not know that he was in love with this girl? Mike misses the first pitch and then hits a foul ball on the second. And there's a lot of drama and tense music as the pitcher prepares for the third pitch, which Mike doesn't swing at all. So he's out, and the Padres lose the game. But Mike gets a standing ovation anyway, and he goes out to tip his hat to the crowd. And it's a bittersweet moment.
Yeah, and Ginny, after the game, comes up to say goodbye to Mike. And I love that he says, sorry, your poster boy failed you, or something like that. and there, you know, Mike doesn't really give a proper goodbye in that moment. And so Jenny takes off. The locker room's mostly empty at this point. Blip chastises Mike for not saying goodbye to the team. And Mike says that when Blip is the team leader, he can do things differently. And Blip responds that he really hopes that Mike stays, but if he doesn't, Blip is ready to do things differently. By the time Mike is actually ready to go out for a beer, Blip and everybody else is gone. And Mike puts the box with the gavel in Blip's cubby. But Levon's still there, and he stops to shake Mike's hand and say goodbye. Mike tries to give him advice about, if a third base coach tells you to stop, stop. But Levon's argument is that he scored. He brought them closer to tying or winning the game. And then Mike tells him a story about his dog, Jedi, who chased skunks recklessly by a coyote.
Interesting by that, do you mean reaching?
Yeah. His lesson at the end had nothing to do with that anyways. Because at the end he was like, you scored for Levon. You didn't score for the team. And if you had stayed at third base, maybe the next guy up, who happened to be Mike, who swung out. Yeah. But maybe the next guy up could have, hit a grand slam or, kept the game going.
Mike just wants to give a speech.
So.
And you got to let him give a speech because he hadn't had one all episode.
Yeah. Right. And he's going to get to the point eventually. And most of the time, it's a good point. So,
well, he could have gotten to this one faster, though. But Al talks to Natalie about dating Oscar.
Oh yeah.
Al wants to know if this is her way of rebelling against him, and she obviously says dating Oscar has nothing to do with him. Like, men. Anyway. Are you ever? She finally says, "Are you ever gonna like any guy that I date?" And then Oscar opens the door to Al's office, sees Natalie, and tries to backtrack his way out. Like, just come in, Oscar. Stop being a coward. Al talks to Oscar about Mike while Natalie is sitting there. Says he let Mike play so he could take a bow, and because he wanted to win, and Mike gave him the best chance to do that. He asks Natalie to leave, but she stays and tells them what they've told her, but not each other. She announces that she's taking a job with the International Medical Corps. And she hopes that they will start talking to each other instead of through her. So she goes to walk out, but before she leaves, she apologizes to Oscar for letting him know this way. She didn't mean for it to come out this way. But she tries to make plans to talk to him later and kind of clear things up, and then she leaves. So Oscar is glad. After Natalie leaves, he kind of sits on the arm of the couch, still not going anywhere near Al, but exactly. But staying in the room, one thing Oscar is very good at is self-preservation. If nothing else, may not be great with the ladies, but very good at taking care of his own life and limb. Oscar is glad that heat that Al let Mike hit. Al just says, "Bet Charlie wasn't," and starts laughing. And Oscar says, "No, he was not." And starts grinning. Yes. Thumbing their nose at the owner.
They found common ground.
We'll keep them together. There's solidarity in that.
So then Ginny meets Noah in an empty restaurant. There's no menu. She can order literally anything she wants. And Ginny wants a jalapeno burger, my kind of girl. And she also takes the opportunity to ask Noah his advice about investing in restaurants. And Noah says right away, don't. You know, they're less successful than, you know, pretty much any other startup.
Yeah.
And also don't get into business with friends or family. So that's two for two for Ginny. Meanwhile, Evelyn knocks on Will's hotel room and she comes in right away. She's been looking over the numbers that Will sent her and she found a discrepancy. Will has all the answers and Evelyn, you know, clearly isn't truly reassured, but she gets out of there. You know, but you know that it's not going to be the end of that. So it's cool to see Evelyn's, you know, business acumen. Unfortunately, it has to come out this way. you can tell that Evelyn's clearly.
Sorry, just this is what I was. This is what I meant by if
back at
by saying that if Amelia had, you know, kind of been hands off, Evelyn was going to get to this conclusion anyway. So I think Amelia just pushed it farther in the future. Like Evelyn might have come to this conclusion quicker if she wasn't thinking about must show Amelia up and all these naysayers, must show them that they're wrong. She probably would have just taken a deep dive into the numbers, found this discrepancy, said, nope, these answers that you're giving me, Will, they're not really going to fly, and that's that. But
right. And that's, you know, don't underestimate people.
Yeah, I think that's what
she's not the only one.
I think Amelia constantly needs to be reminded of that. She's not the only smart person in the room. Yeah.
Right. So Ginny receives a text because she did ask Mike that if he does decide he wants to, you know, say goodbye to his teammates, let her know. And she gets a text from him with the name of a bar. So Ginny leaves her date with Noah, unfortunately, before she gets her jalapeno burger. But when she arrives, Mike is the only one there. And he tells Ginny that the Cubs want him to be at a press conference the next day at 4 p.m. And he asks her if she wants him to stay. She says that part of her wants him to go and get a ring. And also the trade talk is distracting the team from playing baseball. You know, kind of, again, referencing Mike's own complaints. And Mike smiles and says that he's going to miss the hell out of her. He goes into another Ginny list. He's going to miss how she constantly interrupts him, her feminist dance, her horsey laugh, which is truly one of Kylie's best qualities. As another person who has a horsey laugh. So, pretty romantic. And there's, you can see there's a great moment, great acting from Kylie after Mike says all that. She just has this small, like, shift in her eyes.
Yep.
That becomes more, like, fond and intense. So the romance is cranking up. And Ginny says that she'll miss Mike's crankiness and eye rolling and his over the top, way too long speeches. And hey, 2 years later, I miss all those things. So
I miss the beard. And she's got to be lying. How could she not miss the beard? The beard was so fluffy and luxurious. I just have to believe she's lying. It's okay. You can admit you like the beard. It's a good beard.
Yeah, maybe that would be too that would be too straightforward in like admitting that they're attracted to each other. Because she likes the beard. Evelyn is back at home and she's still looking at those spreadsheets. And so she finally calls Amelia. So we have one person who's direct. We have one person who, when they find a problem, they just tackle it head on.
Yes.
Go to the store.
The whole show.
Don't like the answers, so she goes to the next person. Like,
oh gosh.
At least there's one person who knows how to communicate.
Oscar was still at the office, going over the deal with Charlie. Oscar wants to keep Mike on the team. Says LaVon will be a better player, and he will improve at a faster rate if he's playing behind Mike. Outside the bar, Ginny and Mike are still talking. She's waiting for her car. And so is Mike. And Mike finally admits he nailed her cleats. So they hug. And they hug a little bit too long. And the hug almost turns into a kiss. And I'll never forgive this show for, I'll never forgive Fox for canceling the show before we even got a kiss from between Ginny and Mike. Fuck you very much, Fox. And anyway, the moment is interrupted by a phone call from Oscar, who says the trade fell through. So Mike's staying in San Diego. So once he announces this, you can see that you can see them both step back to create more space between them. And the moment is completely ruined now because they're still teammates. back a couple of minutes ago when they weren't teammates anymore, there were some possibilities for some things that could have happened.
Right.
not anymore. And that is the end of episode 9. Which means there's only one more to go. All the things that could have been.
Wow.
We could have gotten Mike and Ginny kiss. We, you know, if things were different, we might have seen Blip as a team leader. Like, even if Mike is staying, I don't see why Blip can't keep the gavel and still lead the team. And that would have been fun to see a different leadership style. Probably not as many speeches.
Right.
Or maybe he would just cede the floor for a minute so Mike could get his speech in. But it would have been, yeah, I'll do the rest of the stuff and Mike can still give his speeches and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
He could be the speaker. But we would have gotten to see a different dynamic in the locker room, different leadership style. And Boxer opposite of all of that. Thank you very much.
Right. I mean, that was just a glimpse into the physical chemistry of Jenny and Mike. I mean, we've watched them have these amazing banters and arguments. And then this incredibly heated moment where they're not kissing, but they might as well be, you know, and it's all full of emotion because they think they're saying goodbye. And then it's
so
weird because they're not actually saying goodbye
that
anymore.
That is it for episode 9 of Get Her in the Game. I want to thank my co-host, Olivia. You can find her at Sportivica, which is at Sportifica. Of course, I'm at Dust Daughter. And you can also reach the show at PlutgerSchoolie on Twitter. And until next time, which hopefully won't be as long as the wait between episodes 8 and 9. Thank you for listening, and bye.